All right, episode number 34 of the Fightin' Picks podcast is brought to you by First Row Collectibles. Head on over to firstrow.ca and use the promo code FNP for free shipping on your order today. We're also brought to you by Sisu Mouthguards, definitely the best boil and bite mouthguard I've ever had. Head on over to their website, it's sisuguard.com, and use the promo code FNP10 for 10% off your order today.
Ladies and gentlemen, recorded in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada, it's time for the Fight Night Picks podcast with your host, Craig Allen.
All right, it's Friday, August 10th, episode number 34 of the Fight Night Picks podcast. I've got a couple of great UFC fighters coming on for interviews, so let's get into it. So, episode number 34 of the Fight Night Picks podcast. So today I'm joined by two really great guests. We have 8-ranked UFC featherweight Josh Emmett coming on. He's going to talk about, you know, his rise in the California MMA regional scene and then came into the UFC as a lightweight. He was a lightweight champ in California, faced some tough opponents, dropped down to featherweight, and then went on a tear and made it up to the top of the featherweight division. Didn't fare too well against Jeremy Stephens in February of this year, and actually suffered some pretty gruesome injuries. So we're going to talk to him about his road to recovery, when we could see Josh back in the UFC. As well, we're joined by UFC lightweight John McDessie, you know, kind of close to home. He's from Halifax, training out of Rufus Sport. So we're going to talk about his, changing of camps from TriStar to Rufus Sport. You know, he's found a lot of success recently and had that fight of the night a couple of weeks ago against Ross Pearson at UFC on Fox in Calgary. And then at the end of the show, there's no UFC this week. There's no Bellator. So I'm going to give you my complete guide to some of the MMA events that you can check out. And again, be sure to check out Fight Night Picks for the Fans tomorrow at 4:30 p.m. Eastern on Dialogue. I want to hear from you guys. So anybody listening to the podcast, make sure you tune in and come ready with some questions. So without further ado, let's get into the conversation with Josh
coming up. And I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. So to start, what was it like getting a call from the UFC when you're fighting, you know, just straight out of California?
It was awesome. You know, it was a dream come true. It was kind of what I've been chasing my whole MMA career. For me, it was only to fight in the UFC. And if I lost any of my regional fights, I would have, you know, hung it up and called it quits right then. But when I got the call, it was, it was just a great day. I was training, got a call from Joe Silva, and he asked if I wanted to fight in the Netherlands. And I said, of course. I didn't even know when it was or who I was fighting. I just said yes. And then come to find out after I got off the phone, I thought it was like 2 weeks to come. But then my manager said, no, the fight's in four days. So I was like, oh, no, I leave tomorrow. So I literally finished training. I went home, packed, and then hopped on a plane the next morning, went to Rotterdam.
And then you were fighting at what, lightweight when you were on the regional circuit?
Yeah, I was fighting at lightweight. And then I got into the UFC at lightweight, and my goal was to always go 145 when I got in, but since I had success, I just stayed there, you know, and that was still somewhat of a hard cut to get down to 155, but I won a few fights, and then with the third lightweight fight I had in the UFC, I lost a split decision that I think I won that fight still. I feel like I got hometown, but at least the good thing about that was it made me go down, because I wasn't, otherwise if I won that fight, I would have still been at 155, and I wouldn't be in the position that I am now or had the opportunities that I have had at featherweight.
Yeah. And I mean, since going down to featherweight, you got a win last October. And then of course you skyrocketed with the win against Ricardo Lamas at UFC on Fox in Winnipeg. What's the weather like in Winnipeg?
Oh, it was, that was something different. It was, I had a good time there, but it was freezing. It was, I want to say it was like 20 degrees, but I guess at that time it was warm for, you know, everyone in Winnipeg. They said normally around that time it's like -8, -10 degrees. So they were saying this was t-shirt weather, but I was like, there's no way in hell. It was still 20 degrees outside. It was freezing, but
yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah, I mean, you guys got lucky that week. I was checking the forecast and checking to see what the fighters were saying, because usually Winnipeg's probably the coldest place in the country.
Yeah, I still thought it was, but not as cold as it typically is.
No, for sure. So, I mean, you shot right up the rankings. You rank eighth right now. Of course, you know, the fight in February didn't go your way against Jeremy Stephens. How's the recovery process been going for you since then?
It's going. It's slow, but coming along. I've just been seeing a lot of therapists, and yeah, that's about it. A lot of doctors, therapists. I had surgery, and it's coming along. For a while, it was pretty bad. For a month or two, I didn't think I was ever gonna be able to fight again, just because I've never had those type of injuries, but now it's every day. It's a little better, and now I can't wait to get back in there and get back to training and hopefully fight by the end of the year or early next year.
As far as getting clear to resume, you know, activities in the cage, is that something that's going to come up soon?
Yeah, I got suspended medically for 6 months. So, yeah, it should be the end of August, maybe September, I'll get cleared to get back to training. So I want to just kind of go in there I really haven't done much, I really haven't done much, especially the first like 3-4 months as far as working out. But I'm getting back on a diet now. I'm starting to be a little more active, and I'm just going to ease back into things. I don't want to jump into it too quick, just because I've seen with our teammates and other people in the sport that when they've had a severe concussion and they got back too soon and started sparring or fighting, it's ruined their career. And I feel like I have such a long career ahead of me. So it's like, it'd be nice to make some money. And of course I want to do that, but I really don't want to jump in too soon, so where I can jeopardize my future. So I'm going to get back in there. I keep saying, December 29th card would be awesome in Vegas if it was up to me. But then again, I'm going to just see how I feel once I get back into training. And then especially once I get back into sparring, maybe in October, November, I'll start to spar again, and then kind of take it from there. So that's why I'm thinking maybe like a timeline, maybe January or February for me, realistically.
Yeah, and I mean, as far as training, you're at a world-class spot there with Team Alpha Male. When did you get involved with those guys?
I've been there, like one of the longest guys there. I'm from Sacramento, so 2005. I went into Uriah's gym when he opened it, and because I've always been a huge fan of this sport. I was finishing up my junior college wrestling career, so I wanted to like transition into fighting. So I started going in there, just taking classes, and Uriah saw potential in me, and he came up to me one day and said, "Hey, are you thinking about fighting?" I was like, "Yeah, of course. That's why I'm here." And he invited me to the pro practices and just told me he saw a lot of potential in me. And so I was doing some of the practices, and then I got a scholarship to go wrestle in 2007. So I decided to go down, get my degree, get better at wrestling, and then come back and pick up where I left off. I knew I'd get better at wrestling, which would, help me with fighting, because I'd be fighting or wrestling at the 4-year level. So I went ahead and did that. I graduated in May of 2010, came back to Sacramento and kind of, started off there. And I want to say like June or July of 2010, trained for a few months, and then had my first amateur fight. I think I did two that year, or maybe I did one, at the end of the year, did two amateur fights and then went pro.
And then, like, as far as picking up jiu-jitsu, was that something that you were looking forward to doing all along? Did you pick it up once you went to Team Alpha Male? How did you get involved with that?
Yeah, it was really just learning once I got to Team Alpha Male, because I was more like, a wrestler. So I would take people down, and that was kind of humbling when you would shoot a double leg, and leave your neck exposed. And it was just so easy for people to get chokes. And yeah, but I don't know. I pick up everything really fast, and I don't know, even with like striking, I feel like it was just natural to me. I felt like the same as far as, your footwork was pretty similar to boxing and kickboxing, but obviously you have a little wider stance in wrestling. But everything just came real natural to me, and just easy. So I constantly, every day, I'm learning with everything and continue just to learn. And it's been, it almost like, was a new passion of mine because I fell in love with wrestling at such a young age. And then as I was finishing college, I was almost a little burned out on it. And then when I started doing MMA, it was like it lit that fire again, you know. And to this day, I still, you know, have so much more to learn and so much, you know, I have a long ways to come, and I can always get better every day.
And I mean, so you learned the jiu-jitsu kind of as it came, as you trained. And I'm sure a lot of fans were really, you know, surprised to see you competing at ACB JJ 14 over in Russia. How did that opportunity come about?
We were actually in Hawaii. I was with my wife, and we took my mom and in-laws to Hawaii. And I got this message from a promoter out there. And when was this? I want to say it was like the beginning of June. June 1st or maybe May 30th or something like that, if I'd be interested. And I was still having all these issues from the fight, and I hadn't done anything. And my goal was to get back to training like the first week of June when we came back to from Hawaii. And so I was just thinking about it. I was like, man, maybe this will be like just motivate me. You know, this will motivate me to actually get in the gym and start training and then go out there. And I've always wanted to go to Moscow. And so it was just kind of like a free trip. And man, I'll do that all day, go out there, and it's basically like a wrestling match. You know, I wrestled my whole life in college and everything and never got paid for it. And it would be more dangerous just going to a wrestling practice at Team Alpha Male than to do a 15-minute wrestling match. So I was like, you know, I just talked to my doctor, and I said, hey, what do you think about this? And he's like, they were kind of on the fence, didn't really want me to do that, take any impact to my head, but I kind of felt like I had to do it because it would motivate me. And at that time, my wife and I were in the process of buying a home. And so I was like, hey, this will be kind of a down payment. So it definitely helped out. It was fun. So I took it. I trained for like 2 weeks, just light technique with my jiu-jitsu coach. We never went live, and we just figured we'd save it for the match. So we trained 2.5 weeks, flew out to Moscow, and did the little match, and it was fun. Like, from not doing anything for, you know, 4 months to just going out there and having a match, I was like, oh, I was in better shape than I thought.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like it didn't go too bad, and you got to take on former UFC fighter Zubair Tuckyugov. And I've had ACB fighters on the podcast before. I had Adam Townsend from Tennessee, and he said he really enjoyed his experience going over to Russia and fighting for those guys.
Yeah, no, it was awesome, and it was it was just cool. It was a free, they took good care of us. You know, they flew us out on business class, and then, you know, took care of our hotel and the food, and they were just super accommodating. And, you know, even the pay was pretty well. You know, it was fun. It was during the World Cup, so we didn't get to go to any games. We went to the fan village. We got to, you know, meet a lot of people, even Moscow, just the architecture, the food, the people. It was a lot different than I assumed it was going to be. You know, I thought it'd be a little different, but I got over there and I was like, man, this is awesome. So it's like, just like what we hear in the media, yeah. It was nothing like, you know, I'm sure other parts can be a little different, but it was awesome. We didn't have any problems, and I'm just glad we went out there.
No, that's good to hear. And hopefully, you know, the road to recovery goes smoothly and we're able to see you fighting, whether it's the end of this year or the start of next year. Yeah. Want to thank you so much for coming on. And where can fans find you online? If you got any sponsors, floor is yours.
Yeah, as far as my like Twitter and Instagram handle are Josh Emmett UFC for Instagram and Twitter. And then I just have a Josh Emmett fan page on Facebook. And then just everyone that's kind of been there for me and helped out, I appreciate them. Trifecta Meals, they're awesome. That's one of my big sponsors right now. And they just, they're a big sponsor of the UFC now. It just, I think last week is when they announced that too. So they've been great. And everyone's got to check out their website.
Awesome having Josh on the podcast. I really appreciate it. It'll be great to see him back in the octagon, whether it's later on this year, early next year. I mean, there's a lot of fights to be made in the UFC's featherweight division. You've got a lot of movers and shakers there with Brian Ortega, Jose Aldo getting the win at UFC in Calgary, Frankie Edgar, Renato Moicano, Chad Mendes coming back and starching Miles Jury. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Josh and when we can see him back in a cage. I'd like to thank our sponsors, First Row Collectibles. Head on over to their website. It's firstrow.ca. I'm on there right now. I'm looking at a Bray Wyatt autographed Topps card. There's an Aaron Judge rookie card. You know, you've got hockey cards, baseball cards, old episodes of Sports Illustrated, a Bret Hart autograph card. The list goes on. MMA autograph. So head on over to their website, firstrow.ca. Use the promo code FNP. You'll get free shipping on your order. And, you know, they're located in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. So we had owner Curtis Housen on the podcast quite a number of weeks ago. We broke down, it was interesting, we broke down some of the crossover between WWE and UFC, and it'll be even more interesting to see what happens with Brock Lesnar if there's a crossover fight with Daniel Cormier. So, First Row Collectibles, use the promo code FNP for free shipping on your order today. We're also brought to you by Sisu Mouth Guards. I mean, I've had a Sisu Mouth Guard for a number of years. One game of hockey, I didn't wear my mouth guard. I get hit right in the tooth, and it came out. And it cost me a lot of money out of pocket, and it was a pain. And I should have been wearing my mouth guard. And with Sisu, I mean, they're thin mouth guards. They're boil and bite, but they're a lot thinner than, you know, your average mouth guard. If somebody were to wear one in the UFC, they used to have a former big-name UFC fighter that was one of their affiliates. But if you were to wear one in the UFC, you'd be able to talk to your corner people. You'd be able to take interviews after the fight without popping your mouth guard out. You could eat, drink with it in. For me in hockey, it was definitely special because I could yell across the ice for a pass. You could understand me on the bench. And Sisu's recently partnered up with Alex Lemonade Stand Foundation, which is a national childhood cancer research foundation. A sale, or a bit of the proceeds from every sale, 10% will go towards Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation on all yellow mouth guards in the Aero and Junior styles. So you can still head over to Sisu, use the promo code FNP10 at checkout for 10% off, and they'll be donating 10% of the proceeds to Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation. So let's get into our interview with John McDessie, UFC lightweight, talk about his fight of the night performance in Calgary against Ross Pearson, his changing of training camps from TriStar over to Rufus Sport, and if we can potentially see him at UFC Moncton or UFC in Toronto. So here's John. Awesome, John. Well, thanks so much for coming on the podcast, and really want to congratulate you on the win in Calgary and the fight of the night bonus.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so, I mean, you get into martial arts from a young age growing up in Halifax. When did you start focusing more on training for MMA?
I started martial arts at 6. I got introduced to mixed martial arts around 22 years old after my kickboxing career. I wanted to go professional and make a living out of it. And kickboxing at that time was dying out, so I got introduced to mixed martial arts and I got connected with TriStar Gym in Faraz Abbey. And I was under their umbrella for a few years, and then after that, I wanted something different, and I got introduced to Duke Rufus from my manager, Mitch Mayberger. He connected me with Duke Rufus, and now I'm affiliated with Rufus Sports.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. There must be a lot of great training partners there with Rufus Sport. What's it been like training with Duke himself?
Yeah, Duke is an amazing guy. He has a lot of passion. He has a lot of he knows how to motivate the fighters. He has a lot of knowledge, and also he applies himself. A lot of coaches don't really understand. Like, you know, I mean, it's not only about the X's and O's. You know, it's not only just textbook. It's also a lot of things that it takes an individual who kind of walked the walk. You know, what I mean, somebody that went through the fighting career, went through the ups and downs, and you know, as a mixed martial artist, the fighter being the there's a lot of things that most people don't really see. You know, what I mean, did you see like on go? Did you see the fighters go on television, fight, and that's it? But behind the cameras, behind the spotlight, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, a lot of struggle. It's a big sacrifice. You know what I mean? But most guys stop their whole sacrifice, a lot of things to kind of get, you know, chase the goal.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, so you grew up in Halifax, like you said, your background in kickboxing as well, black belt in karate and a black belt in taekwondo as well. If you were somebody, you know, or if you could suggest to somebody looking to start training in a discipline, what martial art would you recommend to them?
Well, I always believe in my heart that you always have to follow your passion. You always have to follow your heart. Like meaning, I mean, like before, you know, what I mean, before you get into the before you go into all the details, like for example, I can only speak in behalf of my experience.
Yeah.
I got into martial arts through, you know, just kind of accidental. And I kind of, you know, once you kind of discover something that you like, that you're that you're passionate about. You know what I mean? That you're willing to go through the hardship and all that stuff. I mean, that's the most important thing. Because regardless of if you become a professional fighter, regardless of if you take it to a next level, just as an individual, you know, any like I said, martial arts, the lifestyle, the way it's therapeutic. Something, it's a good outlet for the younger youth, you know what I mean, to get themselves good structured discipline. So for me, it was very disciplined. It's just for me, you know what I mean, from growing up hyperactive and trouble sick.
Yeah. So, I mean, you switched over to Rufus Sport, almost found pretty much instant success. And I mean, going into the fight against Ross Pearson, what was the game plan against a guy who just wouldn't quit in the ring?
The game plan was kind of keep it simple, keep it straightforward, you know what I mean? So the game plan was just kind of go with the flow, I had to adjust, and I, you know what I mean? Like, me and Duke Rufus were on the same page. We don't believe in just like one specific, like, okay, this is what's going to happen. Because in a fight, through experience, anything can happen. That's why we train. That's what we train day in, day out to figure like different scenarios, different situations. That's what we work all across the board to you know what I mean, we have a lot of different types of game plans, and I was very fortunate that I was a better man that night.
Yeah, for sure, and that's a great plan to have, and it's great to have, you know, Duke in your corner. So I mean, looking ahead, when can we possibly see you back in the octagon? I know you had mentioned possibly UFC in Moncton or maybe even UFC in Toronto in December.
Yeah, my goal is to aim for Toronto card, hopefully get on the main card.
Yep.
And fight a top 15, top 20 fighter. I mean, listen, anything can happen in this game, but proper planning, proper game planning, proper preparation. Having a good team now, I'm happy with the communication my team has. So we're aiming for Toronto and get a bigger name and hopefully get on the win streak and ask for a title contention.
Awesome, John. Well, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate having you on, and hopefully we can see you on that Toronto card. Where can fans find you online?
Yeah, anyone can. All my social outlets: Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. John Golden Bessie. You guys can always anyone that wants to check out any latest feeds, updates, you can go to my social media at John McBessie.
Awesome. It was great having John on the podcast. You know, hopefully we get to see him on that UFC Toronto card. It'd be a little close to home for him, you know, like he said, living in Montreal right now, training out of Rufus Sport. So as far as the camp move, seems to be going really well for him. So hopefully he can keep up that run. I mean, two wins in a row right now. And same goes for Josh Emmett. I mean, hopefully he can progress through, the injury that he has. Hopefully he can get cleared to fight. Maybe we can see him by the end of this year, if not early next year. So like I said at the start of the show, we don't have any UFC this weekend. There's also no Bellator, so no major promotions holding events, no Cage Warriors, no ACB. But there are some more events this week. So I put out an article a couple days ago and titled it Best of the Rest MMA Viewing Guide for this weekend. So tonight, just probably when this episode comes out, you're going to have LFA 47 coming at you from Dallas, Texas at 9 p.m. Eastern. And it's going to be on Access TV. So you've got Jackson versus Jennerman. And the co-main there, you've got Moles and Cheeks, and that's a good fight as well. So in that main event, you've got 15-2-1 Damon Jackson. He's fought in the UFC. He's also fought in Bellator. And he's taken on 12-3 Nate Jennerman. And between the two guys, they have 24 of 27 wins by finish. So somebody's probably going to get a finish in that fight. They're each riding Jackson a 3-fight and Jennerman 4-fight win streaks. So pretty interesting fight there. As well, you got up-and-coming prospect Levi Moles, who's sitting at 8-2, and he's taking on Charles Cheeks III, who's sitting at 13-6. And for Cheeks, I mean, 6 of his 13 wins are by submission. For Moles, he's got all sorts of different finishes. He's got 3 knockouts, 3 submissions, 2 decisions. So look for Moles, really good up-and-coming prospect to try and keep an eye on. I try and, you know, inform you guys of some of the fighters that I'm watching. Levi Moles is one of them, and he's only 23 years old, so already a co-main of an LFA card. And, you know, maybe the UFC signs him, maybe he ends up on Contender Series. We've seen a lot of LFA prospects end up on the Contender Series, like Ian Hainish, Jeff Hughes. Those are some of the names that come to mind, but there's been all sorts of them. So LFA 47 tonight, and I sent out a tweet last night to see what you guys might be paying attention to this weekend, and LFA was at the top of the list. So another great card to be paying attention to this week, coming at you at 9 o'clock Eastern in the morning tomorrow, Saturday. EFC Worldwide 72, Van Staden versus Mazzani. And you can catch the prelims for free on Facebook and the main card on EFC TV. I believe that one's a pay-per-view there, but you can go on their website to watch it. So, I mean, it's a really good card. I've kind of ranted and raved about EFC a little bit. You know, KSW welterweight champ Dricus du Plessis was also the EFC champ over in South Africa. So, you know, Jay Cuccinello, who was on the last season of The Ultimate Fighter, Ultimate Fighter 28, he competed for EFC at one point. Don Madge, who's in the UFC. So they've had a lot of success here recently, pushing out fighters. And I really think that Martin Van Staden, who's their lightweight champ right now, sitting at 26-10, is another guy that you should try and keep your eyes on. Looking to defend against the American 16-6, Mazzani. And, you know, Dave Mazzani, he's had fights against PFL's Ray Cooper III, who just ended up with a knockout win there over Jake Shields. So Dave Mazzani fought Ray Cooper. He's also fought the UFC's Don Madge as well over in EFC. And at the same time, your champ in Van Staden has fought Dricus du Plessis at one point and former UFC star Brian Ebersole. So that could be one, you know, if you don't have much going on tomorrow morning, maybe check out that card, whether it's on Facebook or on EFC TV. Also, you know, the return of M1 to the States. You've got Road to M1 USA coming at you on Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern on Fight TV. So you can pay for that pay-per-view. I was talking to former guest of the show, Adam Townsend. Possibility ends up cornering a fighter there. So you might see primetime Adam Townsend out at that pay-per-view. So M1, you know, this is their American subsidiary. And it's kind of strange because they held events from 2008 to 2011. They held a total of 12 cards in the States. And I know somebody on Twitter came out and said, I saw a card, whether it was in Phoenix, Scottsdale, Glendale, an M1 card, and I loved it. You know, they've got the Rage, the hybrid ring cage that I'm sure they're going to get rid of, you know, once the UFC starts to develop it as a feeder league over in Russia. But this is really interesting. I mean, we haven't seen a card from M1 in the States in a long time. In the main event, a pair of 9-3 middleweights. You know, you've got former Bellator vet David Mundell, and he's taking on Douglas Usher. And so Mundell, of his 9 wins, 6 of them are by decision, whereas, you know, Usher, 8 of 9 wins are by finish, and he's got 7 knockouts or TKOs. So that'll be a pretty good main event. One of the fights I'm looking forward to the most this week, and I'm definitely going to be tuning into it, is the co-main event for this card. So you've got 11-4 Cuban UFC vet Yoslandi Izquierdo, and he's taking on 5-3 Russian Vadim Ogar. And I mean, Ogar, he was on the wrong side of a 30-second knockout against Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series recent signee, Sadiq Yusuf, in August of last year. And Sadiq Yusuf really impressed a lot of people. I mean, in his last fight in the Contender Series, earning a UFC contract, so a guy to watch. But at the same time, Ogar against Izquierdo, it should be a really good fight. I mean, Izquierdo, he went 0-2 in the UFC, had losses to Reza Madadi, who just got signed by ACB and was supposed to compete on that Malmo card in Sweden. I believe that was ACB 91, but they ended up scrapping that. So I see the next two ACB cards for later on this year. They've already started to stack them, and fingers crossed they hold up, because I love watching ACB. You know, their big thing is more fights, more fun. And they're always moving fighters and people in and out of the ring. They keep it going, and it's a really great pace, you know, compared to some of the FS1 cards, some of the UFC pay-per-views. So, yeah, make sure you have a look at M1 Global USA. And if you're a Nighthawk and you're still up on Saturday night / Sunday morning, Ryzen 12 from Nagoya, Japan at 2 a.m. Eastern on Sunday morning. So main event features 20-6. Yosuke Yachi, and he's taking on the unbeaten 8-0 Luis Gustavo. And you can catch Ryzen 12 on Fight TV. So Ryzen's on Fight, M1's on Fight, EFC, you can catch that on their website and also on Facebook for the prelims, and then LFA on Access TV tonight. So that just about does us for episode number 34 of the Fight Night Picks podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube. Check me out on iTunes as well as Stitcher for the podcast version, the audio podcast. And be sure to tune in tomorrow for Fight Night Picks for the Fans, episode number 2, where my co-host is Evil Eddie. And hopefully, you know, you come in with a lot of questions and we can answer them and talk a little bit of MMA tomorrow. So that's at 4:30 p.m. Eastern. And I'll post the link once again. and hopefully you can join me. So we'll see you again next week. I'm going to have a Bellator 204 preview show, and it's already stacked. I've got some interviews already done, so really looking forward to that one, and we'll see you next week.